started a regular meeting for the town of Brule, September 14, 2015. Ms. Boudreaux, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A roll call, please.
Councilmember Boudreaux.
Here.
Councilmember Richard. Councilmember Andre. Councilmember Neesler.
Here.
Attorney Acosta.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Wood.
Here. All right, first thing on the agenda, we'd like to hear from Edmund Jordan, representative for District 29. Welcome, Mr. Edmund.
Candidate.
Oh, yeah, candidate.
But you know what? But I'll take that.
Jumping a gun, huh?
That's all right, but I'll take that. So that's fine. I'm glad. So in about a month or so, maybe you'll be able to say that and it won't be an error.
There you go.
So, again, my name is Edmund Jordan. I'm a candidate for state representative of District 29. And I'm proud to say that in the last two meetings I've had in West Baton Rouge Parish, I spoke at the Port Allen City Council meeting last week, and I had one of my former teachers on the council, Ms. Ray Helen Lawrence. And on this one, I have another former teacher, Ms. Joanne Boudreaux. I'm a 89 graduate of Brule High School. I've been in the raised here all my life. I'm running for state representative because I think we can do better for our families and for our communities. This district covers from the Brule-Addis line, and it comes up through Brule. It goes to Port Allen, crosses over into East Baton Rouge, and it goes into the Glen Oaks area. It covers the area by Tony Seafood, former Redemptorist High School. And it covers parts of the Scotlandville area, Banks, Zion City, Montesano, and then it also goes into the St. Pius area around Mickens Road. So it's a fairly broad district, but fortunate for us, I'm the only one running from the west side. We have three opponents from East Baton Rouge. Even if they had one, I think we'd still be looking very good. The voter turnout is about 50-50 in the district, even though they have more registered voters. We tend to turn out higher here in West Baton Rouge, so we do pretty well with that. So everything is looking very favorable for us. We've been running the last 3 years on this. We made very good inroads in East Baton Rouge. But my platform is education, access to affordable health care, justice and tax reform, and obviously for somebody here in West Baton Rouge, traffic and economic development. But economic development and traffic I kind of see as hand in hand, because if you know anything about what employers are looking for, they want employees to be able to get to and from their jobs with no hassle. And that's been a problem for us, because I serve on the board of Essential Federal Credit Union, which is formerly Dow Louisiana Federal Credit Union, and I can tell you most of my colleagues on the board, in fact all the other ones, are full-time Dow employees. And even at Dow and Shintech, you're starting to hear that one of the issues they're having is being able to retain employees because of the traffic situation. And we have the same thing at the credit union. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, I guess, if you live on this side, but if you are a mother and you're responsible for picking up your kids in East Baton Rouge and school lets out at 3 o'clock, but you get here at 4:30 and you're stuck at Burger King trying to fight to get over that intracoastal, it becomes a problem. So we have to address all those issues. I think that I'm uniquely qualified. I've been a practicing attorney for about 17 years. I co-own an insurance agency in Baton Rouge, a Cypress Insurance Agency. It's an independent agency. Again, I serve on the board of Essential. I serve on the board of Capital City Family Health Center, and also serve on the board of a charter school, which has three schools, one in Plaquemine and two in Baton Rouge. So I've been fairly active in the community. I've been trying to do things for quite some time, so this is not me just coming up and you know, all of a sudden wanting to run for office. So I've been studying it for a while, and I certainly would appreciate everyone's support. If there are any questions from the council, I'd be more than happy to answer them. I certainly will be around to people in the audience. I'll be around knocking on your door. So if anybody has some questions, the website is edmondjordan.com, EDMONDJORDAN. You can email me at ejordan, that's EJORDAN, at edmondjordan.com, or you can call me at 225-284-5888.
I should notice, what's the election date?
October 20th, but early voting is October 10th through the 17th. So I'm
24th.
Oh, October 24th, I'm sorry, yeah. October 24th. And early voting is October
10th through the
17th? 10th through the 17th, that's right. And then the next weekend, the 24th, is the actual vote. So we are stressing early voting to everybody. You got 7 days, basically, to do it. I do know, I think LSU has a home game on the 24th, and Southern University plays in Houston that weekend. So anybody you know that definitely wants to early vote, I would encourage them to do so.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
Mr. Kershaw.
You said you were, are you for traffic?
traffic mitigation. I'm trying to relieve the traffic.
Okay, so are you for a bridge?
I am for a new bridge, but that is part of the solution. I think the other part of the solution, we have some different projects that we're looking at. One is the bump project. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but bump would take you, it would take basically the old bridge, 190, it would connect to the 415 connector is what people are hoping for, and it would take Airline Highway and make Airline Highway basically a toll road but a freeway that would link back up to I-12, and then you'd have two service roads which would serve as what Airline Highway is today. So that's another project that you have in the works, and of course you have some projects as far as extending I-110, whether they close the Washington Street exit or not, but making an extra lane from the bridge, from the end of the bridge to basically the Perkins College Drive area. So those are projects that we'd be looking at, but I think the bridge is the ultimate deal, but bump would work as well.
Are you for the bridge?
I am for the bridge.
Got my vote.
All right.
What's going to cost us for that study?
You know what? Let me tell you this. Here's the thing. I'm about to tell you. When we went to the traffic meeting, I went to the one in Port Allen, and my expectation was that they were going to tell us, here are the solutions, and here we're ready to break ground. And I will tell you, I've got some things coming out. You'll see, I got a commercial coming out on this, and part of it is, this, I'm saying exactly what you're saying. I'm tired of studies. Don't come here and tell me that it's going to take us another 3 to 5 years to study this, and then we're going to break ground another 2 years after that. We need solutions right now because, like I said in Port Allen last week, if you're on this side, last year, you know, I go to Baton, travel to Baton Rouge all the time. If you would leave by 3 o'clock, you'd be all right. You'd get a clear shot. Now, 3 o'clock gets you stuck in traffic, probably right by Walmart. It's 2:45. If you leave at 4:30, you're going to be over by Burger King. We need relief on this side, especially on this side of Intracoastal. But Port Allen has it bad as well. But we need relief on this side right now, and I don't think we can wait another 3 to 5 years to study it. And when I get in, that's one of the first things I'm going to tell them.
I know the guy working down, and he's happy because of them two ferries.
Yeah, but you know, they're running the two ferries, but even with that, it helps some, but it's not a permanent solution. And people were even talking about running a ferry in Port Allen again. That's one of the things they talked about. Part of the fear I've heard from other legislators is if they put a ferry in Port Allen, even as a temporary fix, that they'll try to make that the permanent fix and we'll never get a bridge or something else. So they're kind of hesitant to do that.
FYI, I'd like to know how much taxpayer money have we spent since the last 30 years since I moved here, when we built here, on studies. I've been here in studies since I moved here in the 70s, and we've wasted taxpayers' money after study after study.
I don't know how much we spent. I can get that answer, but I can tell you that
like
the last study, I know they spent $3 to $5 million at least.
They made that comment in the paper.
If they can build a bridge in Europe, how come we can't build one down? Let's get the people that implemented that to them.
I tell you what.
No,
there's no heat for me because look, let me tell you something. There's no heat for me because one, I plan on being part of the solution and not the problem. But two, I live in it just like us, and my thing is this, when I'm elected, I tell anybody, I'm asking for your vote and your support right now. But the flip side of that is you gotta hold me accountable.
I'm
very concerned about it, but you know what, part of it is accountability. So if you don't think, I'm not gonna be perfect. I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna be the first one to tell you. But when you think I'm doing something wrong or that you disagree with, you know you can call me, you know I'm going to listen, you know I'm going to be open to your concerns, and you can best believe my heart is going to always be in the right place. So even if I do what you consider to be the wrong thing, it's going to be for the right reasons. So, you know, and then from there, I think we can have the dialogue and we can keep moving. So I don't mind that. But you know what? We haven't had, let me take that back. I was about to say we haven't had an elected official from West Baton Rouge since 1971, which is Mundy Lowe. Technically, that's changed because Rick Ward, I think, now lives in West Baton Rouge. He wasn't last time, but he does live here now, and he went unopposed. So we do have somebody that is from West Baton Rouge.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
All right, thanks.
Next, we have approval for the minutes from last week's meeting. Anybody got any changes or anything?
No move.
Ms. Bourgeois made a motion.
Second.
A motion and second. All in favor?
Comments.
Oh, any comments from the audience? Hearing none? We don't need roll call, huh? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Motion passed. Next, Public Works Committee. The mayor wants to spend that money we had from that grant on manhole covers. Is it in there? It was in our last package. Y'all had, I don't know what the
20 wasn't it?
Yeah. Shane came up with the concern last week about the manholes being inspected due to that accident. I talked to Wayne. These that he's going to spray with this stuff are not even in the street. So the majority of them are not like street.
Okay.
Like off on the side, so, but he will start inspecting our stuff this fall internally, not externally with another company. So he said this fall he's going to go inspect the ones that are ours. The other, that was a state manhole cover, and
we can still send them a letter.
I still think we should send them a letter.
Okay, so we can send them a letter. You know, so we're going to inspect ours, and like he said, that one really is bad because it was not fitted properly. And the little ring that they put to make it fit properly is what broke loose. So the little screws that held it in. So anyway, that's what Wayne told me about that. So we should be all right. So we need to vote on that? I guess so, huh?
Good. I move we accept a recommendation to inspect.
All right, we got a move and a second to accept this Gulf Coast Underground Manhole Coating Project. Any comments from the audience? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Next, Planning and Zoning Committee. We have two. Can we take them together, Tom, or do we have to do them separate? First thing is consider rescission of the council action taken on February 9th to subdivide. I guess I could read it all, but final plat of tracts B, C, and a portion of D, and the tracts B1, B2, C1, and C2. Mr. Trish, you want to?
Sure.
Just kind of tell us what's going on.
Woody Trish, 449 Highway 1, Burley. I'm here tonight to ask the council for consideration of the rescission of the council actions that were taken February 9th, 2015 on this particular piece of property, number B1.
I just have one question.
Yes, sir.
Has the maps been recorded at the courthouse or anything like that? But Tom, we're okay to just, if this passes, that it goes right back to the way it was?
It goes back to the way it was before the landowner made the request.
Yeah, and so from what I can gather, the previous...
Nothing changes from the way it was.
Yeah, and there was no non-compliance before, so...
The date before, you know...
February
9th, yeah. Everything stays the same, everything that was in place.
Okay.
Then
rescission does not change access that the people that live on the south side.
Doesn't change anything that was there and legally of record and anything that was acquired by prescription or anything else.
Okay.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to say something.
Okay, you want to come up to the mic? Woody, you finished or?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I'm on this first one.
Okay.
Richard Lee Bear,
2166
South Willow Ridge in Port Allen. Just want to make a brief comment. When that particular piece of property was approved by the town council, it was with the stipulation that that 15-foot wide servitude of passage would have all the stipulations removed off of it to where it's for Woody Trish's use only. If the town of Brule rescinds that, they're violating the own ordinance because they're going to be forcing the three south lot owners to drive across a 12-foot servitude of passage on my property, and that's not the minimum required. The minimum required is 15-foot, and you'll have a 15-foot right now. And there was a 280-foot long, 25-foot servitude of passage on top of that one since 1980. And it's been used since 1982 to access those three lots. So if y'all okay that, y'all saying you're forcing those three lot owners to drive across a 12-foot right-of-way, and y'all require a 15-foot minimum.
Okay, so were we non-compliant before we did this? That was my question earlier.
I'm not going to render an opinion on that because the issue was never brought by any private landowners
before
to the town of Brule for a decision before. There was a problem with it with those landowners. That would be a civil matter that should be brought into civil court. It never was, okay? Landowners, there were changes that this council asked be made. Since the subdivision was coming up for approval, the council asked that some changes in the language on the map, not changing anything that was previously recorded in the courthouse, okay? Not changing any rights that may have been acquired in the interim by prescription or otherwise, okay? The town made some requested changes to the map, but if there is no map, things go back to the situation that it was before. And if somebody, there was no issue that was made a legal issue in the courts or to this town council before, so there is nothing. If there's a violation, I can't sit here and tell you whether that violation has prescribed or not. Okay? I can't, because I have no idea. I haven't made any research as to how long it was going on or anything else. We have people saying that, but talk is cheap. So,
one last thing about it. I did show up at the February meeting and contested it along with the other three landowners. And Mr. Costa did the sale for that piece of property I bought, and he did the title search. And he knows there's only 12 foot right there. The town requires 15 foot. So that's all I have to say about it.
Anybody else? All right, so can I get a motion to consider rescission of the action taken on February 9th to get this planning and zoning issue back to the way it was before?
I so move because it does not affect the access that they had before when they changed it to what they have now. So to change it back still does not change their access to the property whatsoever, right?
Okay, we have a motion. Have a second?
I second it if we've within our legal rights to do that, not infringing on the legal rights of the other.
Okay.
Second.
Do we need a public hearing or we just need to? Any other comments from the audience?
They want to have a roll call.
Yeah, let's do roll call vote.
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Yes. All right, motion passed. Next, we have consider rescission of council action taken on February 9th on the final plat of the subdivision, which is the remaining portion of this tract D on the other side, I guess. Same thing?
Same thing, right. This portion here was
on the Venzuel side?
On the Venzuel side.
Okay.
Yes.
And actually, what this does, if we rescind it, it makes fewer lots than what we did back in February, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
I make the same motion to rescind it.
Motion. I second Ms. Bourgeois. Anybody in the audience? Any comments? Let's do another roll call vote.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Yes.
and let the record reflect that the others were absent and not voting here. Thank you.
All right, both of those passed.
Thank you.
Finance Committee, I don't have anything unless somebody has something. Personnel slash Police Committee, I guess at the same time. What do we do, Personnel Committee?
All right, just to give an update on the council, Officer Peralt, her leave, administrative leave ended on August 25th, so we're just letting y'all up to know what we're doing right now. She filed a complaint with the EEOC, so right now we're waiting on a response from them, so right now I have no request or anything from the council.
Okay, no recommendation? Next up, Recreation Committee. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
My name is Justin DeLone. I'm an attorney. I'm here on behalf of Ms. Peralt.
What's your last name, please, sir?
DeLone, D-E-L-A-U-N-E, with the Smith Law Firm, Arch Smith. It was our hope to possibly get a more definitive answer on where Ms. Peralt is currently sitting. She is essentially sitting at home without any duties, on leave status, despite her frequent requests for light duty status. I mean, she was an officer, she became pregnant, and because of that, she's not able to work anymore. She's not earning any income at this time, and just sitting in limbo. Yes, she did, and we did file an EEOC complaint on her behalf because of that. She was not... At our previous meeting, it almost appeared as if light duty wasn't even an option for Ms. Peralt. Despite her physician's request to have light duty, she's still at home not earning anything. We made a number of recommendations for light duty that were not considered, or if they were considered, they were considered only in short. It is our opinion that the law is being violated because she is being treated differently because she got pregnant. It was her right as a human being to be a mother. When her husband, the father of the child, told his supervisor, he's also an officer, that his wife was having a baby, he was congratulated, not put on leave, not allowed to not work at all. So we're here on her behalf, and it was our hope, again, to have a more definitive statement of where she's at other than just her leave continues. Because we believe that is a continuous violation of the law. I wanted to speak on her behalf on a number of other things, but if that's all that's going to be considered today is just an update on where she's at. But I urge this council to consider its violations, to consider the EEOC complaint, and possibly consider putting Ms. Peralt back to work. I mean, she is physically able to work, not possibly, you know, beating up bad guys on the side of the road, but there are a number of other things that police officers can do. I know that she was the first female full-time police officer here in Brule, but this is by no stretch of the imagination of, you know, a unique situation. My mother was a police officer, my aunt was a police officer, my father was a police officer, and they were all, even back in 1987, whenever I was born, were allowed to. My mother was put in the communications room with the state police. My aunt was moved to a warrants division with the Ascension Sheriff's Department. There are a number of options, and none of those options included just putting them on leave where they're not earning any income. Police officers don't do it for the money. Essentially, their household went from being two police officers to running on the income of one police officer. So we just ask this council to consider that. We ask the chief of police to consider that and the mayor to consider that. And the things that have been done in this case, although an EEOC complaint has been filed, as I said before, it's never too late to do the right thing. And that's all we're urging, a definitive answer for Ms. Peralt and for her husband and for her family. Thank you
for your comments. Okay, we'll move to Recreation Committee. The mayor talked with Kershaw, not Mr. Kershaw, another Mr. Kershaw, about our project list for this year for the high school. Wrought iron fence at the athletic entrance, softball concessions, and restroom, air conditioning, and heat, same thing for baseball, and a storage building for mowers, equipment, supplies, for a total of $14,000. And we try to do something every year, so.
I move we approve the list.
And they would have to be cooperative endeavor agreement.
Yep, we have to do that.
And eventual budget adjustment.
And we do each, for each item, Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're going to bill us, and we're going to pay the company that does the work.
They do it. They get the project completed, and then they send us an invoice, right?
Yeah, the company does.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they'll get the project done, and then the company will bill us, right?
Yeah. So any motion would have to include that you do a separate cooperative endeavor entity involved.
Okay.
This is a good project. I know in the summertime, you can't stay in the concession.
Oh, no. I think it's a good one. So you made the motion?
Yeah.
Don? And that's with the cooperative endeavor agreement?
Correct.
Seconded by Ms. Bourgeois. Any comments from the audience? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, Police Committee?
I'd like to recommend Officer Anthony Kip Dupree for hiring temporarily. He's post-certified, he has drug tests, everything's good with him, matrix. So, if we could possibly hire him retroactive, let's see, August 15th, $17 an hour.
A second.
Okay, we have a move by Ms. Bourgeois, second by Ms. Denise. Any comments from the audience? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Governmental Affairs, we don't have anything. Veto ordinances. Ordinance number 6 of 2015, Fire Protection Prevention Ordinance. Chief Hunt was here last week. This is an ordinance to amend and reenact the Brule Code of Ordinance, particularly Chapter 11, by adding fire prevention codes and providing that the Town of Brule adopts the NFPA 1 Fire Prevention Code and the NFPA 101 Life Safety Code as recommended by the National Fire Protection Administration. From what Mr. Hunt said, this is going to help our ratings out. All the other municipalities are doing it also. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Second. A motion and a second. Public hearing on the ordinance? Yeah. Public hearing, right, Tom? Open up a public hearing on the ordinance. Do we have any comments? Close the public hearing. We need roll call on this. Roll call vote.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Yes.
Councilmember.
Yes.
Yes. All right, resolutions and commendations. Do we have any? Right. Police Department report? Oh, I sure did. I'm sorry. Introduction. I'm glad you called me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we need to introduce a rezoning subdivision for additions of portion of additions to Sinclair Plantation for River Mill Reserve and Ace Holdings LLC.
Yeah, they're just extending those down each side of the road, east and west of River Mill Drive. What they did, started for you.
So move.
Oh, well, all we need is,
we just need somebody
is one person to introduce.
Mr. Don's got it.
We just introduce it?
Yeah.
Automatic.
Okay, I'll introduce it.
All right, we got any resolutions and commendations? Anybody? All right, now we can go.
Tom's going to get the report. You have to excuse Tom, he got sprayed today in training. He's going to get a little report. So his eyes are kind of red.
He wants your job.
Oh, he's doing good. On Anthony Kip Dupree, I need to make that August 11th. He actually came in and worked, I think, August 11th and 12th, helped cover a shift. So I had the dates messed up.
Got that, Miss Debbie?
All right, come on, Tom.
Good evening, everyone. Let's see, last month we had one 911 hang-up call, 9 alarms, 1 animal call. We assisted other agencies 9 times, 3 burglaries, 2 civil calls, 6 disturbances, 2 domestics, 1 fire call, 1 harassing phone call, 2 information only, 2 we assisted the fire department with medical emergencies, 1 miscellaneous, 1 open door, 2 private property accidents, 2 suspicious acts for people, which are the two next line items are combined to make that the first one. 2 thefts, 16 traffic accidents, 1 traffic complaint, 82 traffic stops, 1 vehicle unlock, 1 violation of a court order, and 6 warrant arrests, with a total of 452 citations with 599 violations, 69 cars towed for no insurance, and 12 for driving under suspension.
What do we have? We had one on East Main,
was it? And one on West Main and one on...
Yeah, it was...
It was spread out. It wasn't...
Home robbers?
Different things. The two were home robbers.
Yeah.
Burglaries.
No. Yeah.
One was by false identification. They claimed to be one thing and they weren't. And two others, I believe one was an open door.
What's the difference between burglary and theft?
Theft could be anything. The theft of JW's Coke or theft of the Family Dollar could be anything of monetary value, where a burglary more in regards to a home or a break-in.
A break-in.
Yes.
Burglary is break-in.
Yeah. But that's not necessarily an accurate reflection either. It's just the way the reporting system reports
it. That's why I was wondering, you know, it seemed like some of it could overlap.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they will.
You could have a domestic, you could have somebody working as a caregiver or somebody in the house who steals something, that wouldn't be burglary.
That would be theft.
Theft.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's allowed to be there but steals right. something.
Yes, sir.
Burglary is somebody breaks in.
Or somebody could break in and not steal something, it would,
but it's
would
still
be a
burglary.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody else have anything? Police department? All right. Mayor's report? I don't have anything other than today was crazy because we had court. And we see the result of all those tickets, I promise you, at Mayor's Court. Remarks of personal privilege? Anybody?
Councilmember Nista and the mayor and I met with Representative Garrett Graves back on September 1st. We started meeting with public officials. And then the mayor and I attempted to attend whatever that was on the traffic situation on September 1st, later that evening.
Did you make it?
Attempted.
Attempted.
We got that after the presentation. Anyway.
Edmund was talking about the bump project.
Yeah.
I wasn't real familiar with that, but I think everybody in the room is familiar with the bumper-to-bumper project.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's already been implemented.
One thing on the personal remarks of personal privilege, I got to give Addis kudos for their 100th celebration. If anybody went out, it was a great deal. The parade was fantastic, and the bands, and it was just a good family atmosphere, good environment for everybody to have a good old time. Anybody else? Parish council member, you have anything?
I was here to answer questions today.
Figure out the traffic yet?
We don't get Mr. Jordan off.
All right, landmark plaque ceremony, September 20th at 3.
Right.
Here in the town hall. Anybody else that have anything, we'll get a motion adjourned. Moved by Ms. Bourgeois.
Second.
Second by Mr. Niesler. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
7:07.